Hebrews chapter 12. Discipline in a long distance race. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down and start running. Never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through. All that bloodshed, so don't feel sorry for yourselves, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children, and that God regards you as his children. My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline. Don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as a dear child. This trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training, the normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At that time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. So don't sit around on your hands, no more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners, so no one will trip and fall. So no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin whole garden in no time. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing. But by then it was too late, tears or no tears. an unshakable kingdom. Unlike your ancestors, you didn't come to Mount Sinai, all the volcanic blaze and earth-shaking rumble, to hear God speak the ear-splitting words and soul-shaking message terrified them, and they begged to stop. When they heard the words, "If an animal touches the mountain, it's as good as dead," they were afraid to move. Even Moses was terrified. No, that's not your experience at all. You've come to Mount Zion, the city where the living God resides. The invisible Jerusalem is populated by throngs of festive angels and Christian citizens. It is the city where God is judge, with judgments that make us just. You've come to Jesus, who presents us with a new covenant, a fresh charter from God. He is the mediator of this covenant. The murder of Jesus, unlike Abel, a homicide that cried out for vengeance, became a proclamation of grace. So don't turn a deaf ear to the gracious words. If those who ignored earthly warnings didn't get away with it, what will happen to us if we turn our backs on heavenly warnings? His voice that time shook the earth to its foundations. He's told us this quite plainly. He'll also rock the heavens. One last shaking, from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase "one last shaking" means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He is actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and He won't quit until it's all cleaned. God Himself is fire. Exhortation for Hebrews chapter 12. A boost of courage. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When my son Joe was a child, I took him to the local YMCA for swimming lessons. I could almost see an open Olympic gold medal. Swinging around his neck. To my chagrin, Joe didn't wow the class. Instead, he took one look at the water, one look at the instructor, and started bawling. I thought, oh no, I fathered a coward. To make matters worse, the instructor motioned for me to take Joe back to the locker room. In the midst of his sobs and pleas to go home, I gave him a little pep talk. "You can do it, Joe. I'll come to all your classes, and we'll have a signal. When you get scared, you look at me, and I hold my thumb up to you. You'll know it's going to be okay, because I'm here cheering you on." Joe finally agreed, and today he can swim circles around me. How often we too face situations that seem overwhelming and impossible. It is in those times that we need to find our confidence in Jesus. Our first instinct may be to back away in fear, But that's exactly what we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who will raise his nail-scarred hand and say, "Stay with it, run the race. I've run it before you, and my power, you can win. You can do it. Hold fast to Christ, and he will give the will to see you through." And if you keep on keeping on, your strength he will renew. Christ's victory in the past gives courage for the present and hope for the future.